We are here with another podcast from Antioch, Life in the City podcast. I'm Coley. We're here back again with Rachel.
Hey, Antioch.
And we have a very special guest. So special. I can't even tell you. You can talk.
Give me a break.
Our one and only Dan Moose, Papa Moose, Moose, the elder of elders. That's what Patrick recently called you. He called you an elder.
I call you the eldest. I don't know if that's like a lame joke of maybe not having as much gray hair in our church, but that's what I call you sometimes.
Well, Cheryl and I are definitely the oldest couple in the church. Mm-hmm. Even we had an older couple visiting yesterday. Well, there's a new older man coming in.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we kind of represent that.
Come on, we make you feel young, right?
No, you all make us feel very wanted.
Good.
And I think one of the biggest things that, looking back at Antioch has made me think different. When I first came to Antioch, this is the hardest place I've ever preached.
Why would you say that?
Because you all don't think like I think. It's a total different generation. And we were taught to think this way. And I, after the first or second sermon I preached, I looked, boy, I didn't connect at all. And that's unusual for me. A connection is something easy. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, this is past the millennial stage. This is the next. And how do they think? And so you have values that I wouldn't even think they're not important to me. Where I have values that you're looking at them going, why are you thinking that way? And so I had to learn to think. And it's made me have to think different, which is good.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me I'm a young thinking old man. So
how has it changed your preaching? Because I can't say that I've necessarily like been able to pinpoint like, oh, he put on his Gen Z cap.
Well,
and we're two millennials.
Yeah, so. You're two millennials. But the thing is to start to think the way you are thinking makes me have to take the when I look at the text, what am I trying to get across? And then come back and say, okay, this is how we'll get it across.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it makes a difference. One thing it does help me, and the group after about the third or fourth time started to open up and relate with me. It's kind of cute to watch Patrick now because Patrick is almost as relational preaching as I am. Almost, and you've seen that Patrick's doing stuff that, you know, that I've always done. And, you know, and I think that relationship helped. So.
And for those of you listening, anytime that Moose preaches, I'm sure you've noticed this, he never asks a rhetorical question. He always wants to hear back from
the Which, to be fair, is actually not true, because half the time you'll say, I never ask rhetorical questions, and then ask a rhetorical question.
I do sometime in there, because when you get going, you have to, because if not, by asking questions for seeking answers, that just could add 20 minutes to a sermon.
Yeah.
So. I think another Mooseism that I've picked up on over the years that you've preached to is usually at like one point in a sermon, Moose will ask a question on a scale of 1 to 7. And it's always 1 to 7. It's never 1 to 10, but like to gauge like the congregation on like a feeling or something that they've experienced. And so that's a Mooseism that I've picked up on too.
And why 1 to 7 instead of 1 to 10? 1 to 10 has no median point. 1 to 5 has a median point. 1 to 7 has a median point. So you either have 3, you know, so you want a median point where the person can say, well, I'm average, or I'm below or I'm above. So you go, the odd number brings you halfway through. And so that's just something in the training that I work with for church planning. And the other part is once you help people start to assess themselves, then they can start saying, oh, this is where it fits. This is what I need to be doing. And
so you mentioned church planning. Let's back up a little bit for people that maybe don't know your story. How did you get into ministry, and how did you end up in Minnesota? And what do you do now?
Who is Dan Moose? How did you get here?
I was raised on a dairy farm in western Pennsylvania. If anybody knows, it's Mercer, Pennsylvania. At age 11, we had a youth rally at our church, and I heard the gospel clearly first time. I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Christ at age 11. One thing I did not have, I never had anybody take me and disciple me. until age 44.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
44.
I pastored. I was going to say,
weren't you a pastor already?
I was been in a pastor a long time. Wow. And so that was a... So I met Cheryl. I went to college, met Cheryl. We finished seminary, took our first church in Western PA, which was United Methodist Church. We left the United Methodist Church because of their stands or lack of stands on biblical truths. And then we became Free Church.
This was in the 80s?
This was in the 80s. 78, we started our first church. Planted our first church in, I believe, 83. Pastored there till 94. Was looking for another church plant. They didn't have any church plants in Western PA. The Free Church had a church planting movement here in Minnesota, so we came out and planted the church in Lionel Lakes. Then we were out of ministry for a little while, and then we came back and planted the church in Hutchinson. And then they asked me to come. And now today I work with the North Central District of the Free Church, overseeing church planting and really right now whatever else they need me to do. So
you're working. You're starting to look toward retirement.
I work. I'm supposed to be two-thirds time.
Two-thirds.
So, okay. So. I think there's a big asterisk on that. Supposed to be, it sounds like. So.
Well, and we've made progress.
Yeah.
So Paul Burr, if any of you know Paul Burr, said that Moose, oh, so now you're working regular hours.
Yeah.
Yep. So, that tracks.
So.
You may not know this, but those that have listened to the podcast before will. So you work for the North Central District, but you're also a member here at Antioch.
Right.
My husband and I, when we moved up to Minnesota, we still had Pennsylvania plates on our car. And there was, I think it was the second time we had come to Antioch. We not only just pulled in the parking lot, but you saw our license plates. Right. And we had been praying that morning specifically for God, if Antioch is the place, we had heard the preaching, we loved it, but we hadn't felt relationally connected at all. And we stepped out of the car and across the parking lot, you were like, Pennsylvania. And that was just an instant connection. And we talked to you, you introduced us to others. And so that's a big reason why we got connected to Antioch, was the Pennsylvania connection.
This slimy cool. pebble. I mean, Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. That's where we were from.
Yep. And see, I was raised within 15 miles of that, so was Cheryl.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, we would see this soon. And Cheryl's dad graduated from Slippery Rock. And so, got to be careful.
You almost slimy. Misnamed it again.
So, yeah. We just, that's always been a joke. So, yeah.
So
I became a member here after that.
Oh,
because
wow.
What happened was, one day, Andy asked me to preach. And after I was preaching, he says, well, why don't you and Cheryl come to the house for lunch? Fine. As soon as we got to the house, and Luke was a little tight at that point, and Luke says, hey, Moose, you got to come to Antioch. You can become a part of Antioch. And I just kind of passed it off. So we sit down to lunch, and Luke again comes and says, Moose, are you going to come to Antioch? And I says, Andy, if you have a question for me, ask me. Don't run it through your kid.
Your 10-year-old has a little prophetic word.
You don't have to ask.
He's probably seven at that point.
Yeah. And so, and what they did is they said, we need small folk at the church. And at that point there, Cheryl and I would have been in our early 60s. And so, yeah, we said, and we thought, prayed about it, said, yep, we'll become part. And so we came in at the same time as Darius and Jen.
Yeah, that's right.
And Suix.
Yeah.
What was their names?
Tom and Nicole.
Not Tom and Nicole. We went through the membership class together.
Oh, nice.
Up in your house.
Huh. Yeah, in the duplex.
Duplex, yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. Man alive, that was a long time ago. Well, we're super happy you guys are here. And it's been
mutual.
Yeah. No, it's been really awesome. And it's one of the reasons that this fall with us starting this education hour, you were my first choice of the first teacher. Because over the course of the next 9 months, we're going to have a variety of teachers and a variety of topics. We don't want it to become, it won't replace community groups. It won't be one topic the whole time. It's not affinity based, all of those things. But I really wanted to make sure we started out really strong and that we would draw people in with someone that they knew and loved. and not just, we're going to give this kid teacher who I know is great, but you may not, you know. And so I called you up to ask if you would teach the first 3 weeks. And I don't know if I told you this, Rachel, but he was actually rather reticent to do it. I think probably mostly just because you underestimate your own value. But maybe you had a different reason. I don't know. I feel like a lot of times you will sell yourself short, to be honest.
I won't disclaim that.
Fair enough. But so I'm super pumped for the Education Hour overall, and I'm especially excited for you to kind of set the tone in terms of just how to think about the Education Hour, what kinds of things we're going to cover. So I thought this might be a really good chance. I mean, you already gave us homework, you know, that was in the Life in the City yesterday or today.
Yes. Well, and number one, I don't call myself a teacher. I want to be called a trainer. Mm. I look for life transformation. Too often in our teaching, especially Christian education, it's a theological or a dump, mental dump. And the trouble with the mental dump is all of a sudden we have developed many Christians who are way, way full of knowledge, but they don't know how to practice it at all. Mm-hmm. So we've really become spiritual dead seas. Mm-hmm. And so there's no outlet. And so how do you train instead of teach? And that's why if they don't have something to look over and work with, you know, when I train, I look at four things. For training, I believe that you have to have something everybody explores. Secondly, they need to experience it. Of course, we have ease. The third one is then we need to evaluate it. So we discuss it because something I have experienced, we haven't stopped and evaluated, how am I learning from that? It's just something no. But if somebody says, well, why didn't that go well for you? And you start to think, you go, huh. And, you know, a lot of times just asking the right question helps a person. And then the fourth E is, are they taking that to equip somebody else? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think a lot of pastors and a lot of teachers think, well, God's going to hold us accountable for how many sermons we preached or how we taught. Yeah, he's going to hold us accountable for that. But if I remember right, Matthew 28 says what? Help me out, Matthew
28. Make disciples?
Make disciples.
Of all men. And are we making? Teaching is a subordinate point to that.
Teaching, but part of that teaching is the obeying, the experiencing. Mm-hmm. See, that's the life transformation. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you start asking, I says, okay, if we're going to do this, then how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to help people to say, we got to think this through.
Which was great because, I mean, it fit right into like our goals for that. And when we talk about disciple making at Antioch, we often use the Matthew 4:19 and break apart what Jesus' call to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mm-hmm. And there's that worship of following. Mm-hmm. The transformation is done by Christ. I will make you, that's he right. promises.
Yeah, he does transform me.
But he promises to transform us into obedience, fishers of men. You know, not just I will make you into followers.
Okay, well, you know. And a lot of Christians today we're saved to be good people waiting on going to heaven.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a moralistic stuff. Mm-hmm. I think we need to get back to a holiness, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on Sunday in our class because we're dealing with what is kingdom character. Mm. But the fact is, holiness is not enough in itself if we're not ministering and changing and using our giftedness. The second week, we're going to deal with the idea of a bold risk. You know, how do we risk? What's it look like to risk? And we Americans, we ain't got a clue in that one.
We like our comfort. So much so.
And then the last week is going to be who's your one? Because as I've been talking with the elders and even the search team and Pastor Patrick, the idea is, you know, are we doing the outreach we need? Oh, we've had people coming to us all along.
Yeah.
But what would make us more excited? If we'd have 6 to 8 new believers this year who would stretch us all.
Awesome.
What would two new believers in your growth group, your community group do? Because it would change it. They're going to ask questions that are going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
They're going to ask some questions. You say, we don't talk. No, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, it's actually a conversation we've had with community group leaders so far. I know not all the groups have had a chance to talk with their groups about it, but that we're going to encourage every member of a community group to pick one. And it's not a project, but it actually is more of a
prayer.
A prayer and a focusing of our prayer. Because I can speak for myself that I can sometimes have like scatterbrained or ADHD prayers when it comes to lost people. Like I'll have a really good conversation with, you know, neighbor A, mm-hmm. and then community group that week, I'll go, oh man, we had such a good conversation. I really think like there's something there. Like maybe I could take it to the next level of vulnerability or whatever at the next time. So pray for that person. And then a week or two goes by and they go, hey, how was so-and-so? You know, oh, well, I haven't seen them, but I did see these people and I had a really good conversation. And so pray for them. Pray that I can meet with them. And so what I've actually talked to the community group leaders about is a challenge to, despite circumstance, let's commit to praying for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a group, we can each be praying for those, whatever, 15 or however many people are in the group, lost people. But, and it's not that, you know, I'm sorry, you're not on my list. I'm not going to evangelize to you. But like, I find that what I pray about is what I end up thinking about. It's what I see. It's what I focus on.
Yeah.
And so I love that.
Well, and I think the idea is it's been amazing how well we've done as a church through the transition.
Yeah. Which one?
Well, this transition. I'm talking the one since for the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to mention COVID. I mean,
the fact is, we still are not on the cutting edge.
No.
We're still a church because we've been connected with A29. We have A29 people check us out and come to us just because we're A29.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. But, I mean, are we reaching the lost?
Mm-hmm. And really hearing your story of really not being discipled until you were 44 years old, I see a lot of that playing out in how you want to disciple others in our church too, and helping us grow from not just having a good like orthodoxy and understanding and download of information of who God is, mm-hmm. and what he's done, but being able to put that to use in orthopraxy, how we actually live our lives to show what we believe. And I think it's a really good point of thinking through how we're choosing to seek out others in our lives. Because if we truly, we say this every Sunday, if we truly believe there's a life-changing way of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ we want to invite others into,
mm-hmm.
if that's what we believe, how are we going to demonstrate that to others? Both through allowing them to see the life change that we've gone through and are continuing to go through, but how that can impact them. And it starts, like you said, Coley, with like prayer and a genuine love for people. I'm realizing this more and more as the years go by. It's really hard to pray for somebody and not grow in love for them.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one way that I see God kind of urging our church or spurring us on potentially through this even new initiative with community groups is like, when we pray for people, we're going to grow in love for them. And the more we love them like Jesus loves them, the more we're going to point them to the life-changing way of Christ. And so I'm really excited about some of the teaching you're going to do or instructing and training you're going to do with us to help us know how to channel that towards the community around us who really does need him.
Well, and I think that's when we talk about kingdom character next week, this coming Sunday, one of the big things is I think most American Christians do not understand the word appropriate vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We think that because I stumble, I can't tell you. Well, when I left the pastorate back in 08 to take this district job, I asked God to give me some guys to put on my shoulders so that they didn't have to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stupid, so I don't learn by vicariously. I have to learn all the hard way. But there's a lot of people that don't. Andy asked me when I came, he said, when Cheryl and I came, he said, would you be an elder? I says, no. I said, I'll raise up elders. And there's two already, the one left. And so he's being raised up at another church. And I'm working number three, who probably will be an elder yet this year. Who are we pouring our lives into? A lot of us are saying, well, you know, I got enough of my own. Well, wouldn't it be something if we just had one or two people that we're connecting with regularly and we're growing together because we are sharing the gospel, we're sharing the word, but we're also appropriately vulnerable. You know, I'm struggling with this. Hey, guys, pray for me and hold me accountable. That's appropriate vulnerability. I don't have to give you all the details. I just give you enough so that you know. And there's some people I give more, but there's others I give here and some I give here. But that's appropriate vulnerability. And if we need that emotional vulnerability if we're going to be good disciples to grow together. Faithful, excuse me. I don't want to use the word good. Faithful or effective. And as you said earlier, Coley, God's the one that does the changing.
Right.
But if we don't do the disciplines to be available, we're not going to change. Disciple making is me. If I'm helping you grow in Christ, it's me helping hold you to a place where the Holy Spirit can work on you.
You know, Patrick had suggested some reading paired with, I think, his sermon 2 weeks ago, a little pamphlet called My Heart, Christ's Home.
Yep.
And I don't know if any of the listeners got a chance to actually read that or look it up, but I know our community group actually went through it that following week.
Oh, nice.
And it reminded me just what you said of being available, because in the little pamphlet, it's this beautiful little picture of somebody inviting Christ into their home to live there.
Yep.
And eventually, room by room, Christ transforms that person's heart of their home. But they realize that, like, it's not just about, like, having him around. Like, I need to give him the full title, the deed to my home, that full acceptance and that full allegiance to him, to allow him to be the king of my heart. And that reminded me exactly of what you were just saying. Yeah.
And another way I put it, we need to give him the master key to every room. Most of us have a closet we keep to ourselves.
Yep.
Or maybe two.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think I have a couple thoughts. The first one is kingdom character. The second week is what?
Bold faith.
Bold faith. And then pick one.
Well, it's pick one, but that's not the title I'm using, but that's
what it is. Who's your number one or something?
It's living on mission. It's living on mission.
Okay.
But the one takeaway from that will be, who is your one? We'll show a video there about who's your one.
So why, if that's kind of the final takeaway of those 3 weeks, even though if you're listening and you can only attend one of them, it'll still be worth your time. You know, if you can't come to the first one, I know I'm going to miss the first one because I'm going to be teaching. Are you in kids too?
No, we're out of town.
Oh, that's
this weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in kids, leading kids worship and making sure that goes well, but I'll be there second and third, hopefully. But my question is, why start with kingdom character? And what do you mean by that without, giving us a whole class away?
Well, number one, if we don't have the kingdom character, and when we're looking at kingdom character, we're going to be looking at Galatians 13 through 26. And if we don't have the kingdom character, we don't have anything to work from.
But we have the Bible.
But you're the hands and the feet that the Bible is communicated through.
All right.
And the thing is, if you don't have that kingdom character, and that's what, I think we're in a society right now where everything's grace, 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 grace. And if we look at the Bible, grace is one side of the picture. Holiness is the other side. And holiness means that God's called us to be perfect as he is perfect and to be righteous as he is righteous, to be holy as I'm righteous. And so how do you put those two together? And that we need to look at the whole thing. And then on top of that, we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it, we're nothing.
Right.
So, that's the big thing. And the reason we're talking about character is it's something that we can help each other grow in the power of the Holy Spirit too. So you know, a lot of times as the Christians, we say, well, you know, that's just the way that person is. That's an excuse. It's not a reason. And God didn't say he wants us to stay the way we were. He's going to change us.
Right.
Yeah. And despite our personalities, despite our circumstances, we are always, we have the Spirit in us. We are always able to show those fruits of the Spirit, regardless.
And not only live out the fruit of the Spirit, but he says that he is transforming us from one level to the next always, if we're really walking in the Spirit. And again, I think a lot of people are not, they don't quite know how to handle the Spirit stuff with the Holy Spirit, who he is and how he works. But again, that's part of our character. Our character is who he makes us, not who we want to be.
Yeah, I love that. So the homework.
Yeah.
What was the homework? I haven't actually.
The homework's homework's
an article. Really.
An article.
It's super easy.
It's an article. It is, but it has a few questions at the end. Yeah. And it also has the scripture that we need, Galatians 5, to read that through too, 5:13 through 26. But the article is just an article to get you to stop and think. Mm-hmm. And it's by Peyton Jones, who has done a lot of work with church planning, so and church planning my area, so you know it comes pretty easy to pick on. So
yeah, and if you're listening to this and you're like, where's that article, go to your email inbox and look for the Life in the City email from September 11th, and you'll see a link to that in there. Moose shared that so people can pre-read and kind of come with the pumps a little primed for the conversation on Sunday the 17th,
and answer the questions too.
Yeah,
there's questions in the article, start thinking them through, because if you're thinking them through, then you're saying, you know, we're not coming and just sitting there.
coming in cold.
Because, again, you got to realize Moose has no trouble asking questions, and he has no trouble waiting for an answer. And if we want to be quiet the whole time, we can be quiet the whole time. So.
Yeah, we were just talking before we hit record that you are almost 100% an extrovert.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've learned this over time or it just comes naturally that you're an extrovert that's comfortable with uncomfortable silence. And so, well, I can't think of the number of meetings that you and I even have been in where you've asked a hard question and just said, I'll wait, you know.
I have learned the best way to help people understand something is to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Because when you come up with the answer without me telling it, boom. I remember still to this day, the first parable I fully understood. And I go, wow. The Bible just came on. But no one told me what it was. God revealed it to me. And same with this. So we've asked the right questions. You know, I think we're too quick to tell. Mm-hmm. And if I'm telling, then I have to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm not always the Holy Spirit. I'm not always right. God may be using me just to stir something in you that he wants to tell you something different. And so how's the Holy Spirit bringing that about? So that's why I ask questions.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I'm excited too for how interactive the education hour is going to be. You know, I think just it will be an inevitably smaller group. Mm-hmm. And so there can be a lot of dialogue back and forth and stuff. Awesome.
So what do we have? How long do we have? 45 minutes?
We only have like 30.
Class.
I thought that's going to do.
I thought you meant the recording.
No.
Yeah, we have like 50. If people come on time. No. Let me say.
When people come on time.
If you start on time.
Name that and claim that.
You will have 50. Name it and claim it. Oh, God.
Get people to come on time.
Oh. 9 a.m. to 9:50.
Okay.
Kids can check in at 8:50. So like 10 minutes before, you can get your kids settled, get them in there. I'll be in there. Mm-hmm. There'll be familiar faces. And then adults can head over to the meeting room. And you can start at 9.
What meeting room we're in?
This one right here.
Right here, okay.
Yep.
Will we have a screen, a TV screen for?
Yep, there's a screen and a whiteboard. So we can use either one.
And we'll chat after this about layout ideas.
Yeah, we have a couple questions. Logistics.
Okay, good.
But sweet. Well, is there anything else that you... actually, I do have one more question. You said that we've been doing really well in this season of transition as a church, surprisingly well. But if you could encourage the people of Antioch with like one thing.
One thing is I don't see people with their chins down. Mm. People are looking positive. You know, you're seeing we're still... We knew would there be some people who'd move on, which they have, but we've seen a good number who've stayed. We see new faces regularly and people getting involved. I think another thing is that just to see the people who've stepped up. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a young man that I'm discipling right now, working with right now, who wants to be an elder. You know, a year ago, he wasn't. He's stepping up.
Mm.
And so you're just saying, okay, we're seeing people step up. And that's exciting because a lot of times when you get like this, you can get down in the, you can just get grumpy and frumpy and negative. I there's been some negativity, but very, very little I've heard. And I think we've had the leaders. We Patrick's been a surprising blessing and more than any of us expected. And that's been very unique and the people have really connected with him well, and he's done a great job. And so, you know, how we, those things just all together go.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. That's great. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yep.
Appreciate it. And look forward to hearing what you have to say.
We'll see.
All right. Rachel, anything else that we need to tell the people?
We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And even if you can't make it some weeks, come when you can. We'd love to have our church body learning and practicing together. As we learn more, we experience the life of Christ together.